my wife Jenny and I discovered a new game to play. It's called the Mystery Noise Game or the Mystery Sound Game. And all you need to play this game is a faint electronic kind of trilling noise. You know the sort of noise that some devices make just before the battery gives out, and it's the noise that says, you know, the battery's going, please refit me. That kind of noise. So, and it's a game, according to how often this trill goes, you can make it last for hours, literally. You know, if the trill goes every sort of 15, 20 minutes. And the first phase of the game is, and it's best played at the dark of night, clearly. The first phase of the game is one person says to the other, did you hear that? Now that phase can go on for quite a while, and you know, the variants of it, like, you must have heard that. No, you did hear it that time, didn't you? And eventually, when the other person acknowledges that they too can hear it, you can move into the second phase of the game, trying to find where it comes from. Now, this is quite an interesting phase of the game because it does involve, I mean, you can play this by yourself or you can play it with your friends, you know, it doesn't have to be a couple, but the next phase is easier if there's more than one because it does involve going round to every room in the house trying to find where this noise is coming from. And as you do so, you're generally gathering all of the devices that you can find, like carbon monoxide detectors, old calculators and old telephones, anything that could possibly make this noise, you're gathering with you just in case it's that particular device. And so towards the end, you've got quite a lot of things in your arms and it's still quite dark. And the game finally ends when one of you puts your head out of the window and realises it's not coming from any of the devices in your house. It seems to be coming from a burglar alarm across the road somewhere. Now, you're still not completely sure where it's come from, but at least you've now got enough information to move on and try and get back to sleep. But it, as I say, it can last quite a while, and it's... You can also sort of do the debrief afterwards, like, I told you it was coming from outside. I knew it wasn't from in this house. I thought it was from over there. But it's a bit like the stories of the resurrection. Because as you read through the Gospels, and the story we had from John today is no exception, as you read through the Gospels and read the stories of the resurrection, it's very clear that Mary and the disciples don't quite understand what's going on. It's not as if they suddenly look around and say, oh yes, Jesus said this would happen, this would happen, this would happen, so this is where we are in the story. They're completely confused. They don't understand what's happening. Actually, if you read the gospel stories, the only person who seems to have got a glimpse of what's going on is one of the criminals on the cross who says, you know, remember me when you get into your kingdom. And possibly Pilate, as he washes his hands, might have a glimpse. But apart from that, it would appear that the disciples, Mary's, so on and so forth, it doesn't click for them. You know, when the disciples go and, you know, one disciple arrives, looks in the tomb, and the second one doesn't believe him. He goes and has a look, and it says he then believes. It's not saying that he believes in the resurrection. He believes in what his mates just told him, that the tomb's empty. They don't work out what's happening. The facts of the Easter resurrection are there for everybody to see. But it takes some time for the reality of what that means to turn itself into that Easter faith. Some of us were here and we saw the Riding Lights production. And it was clear as we saw the characters portrayed in that, Jairus, one of the synagogue rulers and others, that they struggled to understand some of what was happening. Jesus was a person from a village, something 90 miles away or so from Jerusalem, a small village, saying some really strange things and doing some very strange things. But you could see them trying to work out, as we went through that production of Inheritance, those characters trying to work out, what's this mean? This isn't quite how life should be. I read a book over Lent called The Testament of Mary, which is written by an Irish author called, I think it's Colm Tóibín, I think that's how you say his name. And it's not a theological book. I think he was up for one of the Booker Prizes in terms of he's an author and a writer. But he writes a testament from the perspective of Jesus' mother, who's living in exile sometime after the crucifixion and the resurrection, and describes how Mary herself is trying to understand what on earth has happened. And she's living in fear for her life. It's a real puzzle. The facts of the crucifixion and the resurrection are there, but the reality of what that means hasn't yet sunk in. And there's a bit of a sense that as we look back with our cerebral knowledge of Easter, and with hindsight, we can look back with understanding. We get the facts of Easter, but we too sometimes don't let the reality of that Easter spirituality and that Easter faith live in our lives, because in our rational society and in our rational way of being, we get hooked on the facts, and the facts are indisputable. If the facts of the resurrection were not the facts of the resurrection, somebody would have shown that by now. The facts are indisputable, but it's living out the reality of that resurrection in our lives as our Easter faith, as we parallel in our lives the acts of Easter, as we die to sin and are raised to new life in Christ, as the things which separated us from God, particularly sin and death, are taken away, and we acknowledge Christ as our King, as we let the reality of that Easter faith take root in our lives day by day, as we let the reality of that Easter spirituality dawn afresh in our lives, as, if you like, we get beyond the facts into the experience of what Easter is all about. Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. And there's a sense in which, just as the disciples, just as Mary, perhaps saw the facts but didn't understand them, there's something about Easter which will always be a mystery. It's a bit like the little trilling noise. We know enough to be able to move on. But as we look back with knowledge and understanding, we look forward in faith and expectancy. As we move on into our Easter faith, as we experience the reality of the risen Christ in our lives, as God himself comes and lives in us through his Son Christ, Jesus Christ, as we live out that reality, so those facts become more and more relevant in our lives, so we understand more and more about what Easter and the victory of Christ over sin and death is all about. Not just in an abstract academic way, but in the reality of what that means in our lives day by day. We might never understand completely what Easter means and the reality of what Christ has done for us and why he has done it for us. But in Christ, in his death and his resurrection, we know a man who does. Amen.